Reverend Udu. We'll do it in English. The majority audience is in English, so we should do it in English. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وله الحمد في الآخرة وهو الحكيم الخبير يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو الرحيم الغفور صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. We have just recited the first two ayats, the first two verses of Surah Sabah. And Surah Sabah is in the 22nd juz, the 22nd para. And the first two words of Surah Sabah are Alhamdulillah, which are the same two words that begin the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, the entire Quran is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen any surah for us to recite in every rakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that, okay, after praying subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaruk ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha khayruka a'udhu bismillah, then read qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas in every rakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, okay, in every rakat, read qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Surah Fatiha. So that means that the message in Surah Fatiha must be a message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to repeat in every rakat. That means it's a really important message. If there is a task, your parents give you a job to do. For example, they say that, look, you will be the last one in the house, so make sure you lock up before leaving. And if it is a really important task, they will say it more than once. They will say, make sure you do it. Don't forget it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us repeat Surah Fatiha and the message in Surah Fatiha every rakat. That means it must hold a very, very important message. So the first two words of Surah Fatiha are the same as here, Alhamdulillah. And really, this Surah Fatiha starts with Alhamdulillah. Surah Sabah starts with Alhamdulillah and many other surahs as well. Surah Fatir, another surah, Alhamdulillahi Fatir al-Samawat. Surah Al-Kahf, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa al-Samawati wal-Ard. So these two words, Alhamdulillah, they are very, very important. They must be, because Allah Ta'ala makes them repeat it every rakat. And not only that, in the Quran, He repeats it multiple times. So let us first understand these two words, Alhamdulillah. When we translate it, if you open a translation, you will see all praises for Allah. Now what does this mean, all praises for Allah? So the first thing to understand is praise. What is praise? So if we give a few examples, you will understand. You say to someone, you're so kind, that's praise. You say to someone, you're so brave, that's praise. You say about someone, mashallah, he's so generous, that's praise as well. He's so nice, that's praise. So all praises for Allah means that whatever praise you can think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of it. Brave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of it. Strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of being praised because he is strong. Compassionate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of being praised because he is compassionate. Basically, Alhamdulillah is saying that every good quality that you can possibly think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it. And this is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In humans, you will find someone with 5 good qualities, with 10 good qualities, but you won't find someone with every single good quality. And if they have many good qualities, they won't be on the same level as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A human can be merciful as well. And we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. But the human's mercy is nowhere near on the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We can say a human is strong. The humans become praised, mashallah, he is so strong. Some people, you know, a two-three man job. Sometimes one man picks it up and we say, oh mashallah, he's so strong. But his strength is nowhere near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's strength. So alhamdulillah, the first message alhamdulillah gives us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single way of praising someone you can think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be praised like that because he has every single good quality. And not only does he have every single good quality, he has it at the top level. No one can match him in that quality. No one can match his mercy. No one can match his strength. No one can match his wisdom. This is the first thing alhamdulillah tells us. That all praise is for Allah because he has every good quality. Second thing, if you find anyone else with a good quality, about your parents you think, mashallah, they're so nice, they always look after me. Or about someone you know, you think, he's so strong. So, you are praising that person. But although you are praising that person, actually you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Because that person is strong, but who made that person strong? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your mother is merciful, but who made her merciful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you praise your mother, you are actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a very simple example. Let us say someone, there's a mechanic. Your car is broken down. It has 20 different problems. And you take it to the mechanic. And he fixes it for you. And after he finishes with it, you start driving it. It is driving so smooth as if it's new. Then you will say, mashallah, the car is working fantastic. So you're praising the car, but actually, you're praising the mechanic that he's done a fantastic job. So when you praise someone that, oh mashallah, he's so brave, he's so generous, then actually you're praising the one who made the person like that, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever someone praises someone, actually they are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second meaning of all praises for Allah. And number three. One time when you very often praise someone is when they've done something for you. Someone helps you. Jazakallah, you're so helpful. Thank you so much, you've helped me out. Someone does something for you. Someone does a favor for you. So when it comes to doing favors and helping, there is no one who has given us more favors than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us eyes. He gives us ears. He gives us body parts. And not only that, he keeps them working for us. He gives us food. And he gives us food. After we eat that food, he's made a machine inside it that automatically digests the food. And not only that, if anyone else does a favor for us, that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making them do a favor for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of all praise as well. Because any favor, every single favor is from him. So this is what alhamdulillah means. And So when you say Alhamdulillah, actually you are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every single good quality. He is absolutely perfect. And every single favor is from Him. Now imagine if a person, this message of Alhamdulillah is embedded into his head. And all the time he has this in his mind, that my Allah who is watching me, He is absolutely perfect and absolutely brilliant. And not only that, He keeps helping me and giving me everything. Such a person will never ever think about disobeying Allah. If the time comes for salah comes and he is feeling lazy, he will think, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me everything. I should perform salah for Him. If the time comes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to swear at someone, to insult someone, to oppress someone, he will think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mightiest. How can I do this? He will think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in control of everything. If I disobey Him, what if He turns everything against me? So that person, the message that Alhamdulillah gives, if that message gets embedded into our heart and mind, then we will never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will end up in Jannah. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to end up in Jannah, so He keeps making us say Alhamdulillah in every single rakat at the beginning of Surah Fatiha. But our problem is, we do it in parrot fashion. We do it in automatic mode. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Mind is elsewhere. Mind is in the latest football match. Or mind is in, what am I eating? What do I need to do when I get back home? If we recited Alhamdulillah, just the first words, we're not talking about concentrating in the whole Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillah with concentration, every single rakat, or we try. Yes, sometimes a person is in a bit of stress. He's got an exam the next morning, so even in his sleep, he's dreaming about the exam. So even in Salah, you think that that's beyond his control. But if a person tries and concentrates on Alhamdulillah, just these two words, then he will benefit so much. And that is why as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes us to repeat words like this, Alhamdulillah, every day. That is why after every single salah, what is sunnah? That a person recites Subhanallah 33 times. Subhanallah has its own benefits, because it is not in the verse here, we are not explaining that. Part of it, he recites Alhamdulillah 33 times. Again, so that this message gets stuck into his head. But all of this, we need to start trying to do it with thinking a little bit about the meaning. That Alhamdulillah, I am saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is brilliant, He has every good quality, He has showered me with every favor. So this is Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah. الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The one for whom is everything that is in the heavens and the earth. So all praises for Allah, who is the owner of everything in the heavens and the earth. This is basically giving proof that all praises for Allah. How do you know all praises for Allah? Because He is the owner of the heavens and the earth. He is the owner, that means He is the creator. That means everything in the heavens and the earth, everything in the universe, He has created. So whenever you see something or someone with something that can be praised, that's praiseworthy. Oh, look at that building. Not just people. People as well, we have anything. Mashallah, look at that building. Amazing. Oh, mashallah, you know. Or something in nature. Person goes to see a waterfall in Niagara Falls. Subhanallah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the heavens and earth, that means this is His ownership. He has created it. So after thinking how amazing this is that is in front of us, or this person, then we should also think that the person who created it, He must also be amazing. So this is proof that all praise is for Allah. Because He is the owner and the creator of everything in the heavens and the earth. And every single favor in the heavens and the earth, He has given it to us. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And Only for him is all praise in the hereafter. Only for him is all praise in the hereafter. What does this mean? The first message in this sentence is that just like in this world, when we are in this world, then every single praise is actually for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be worthy of every single praise. And look, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to us in this world, we can see them. If He gives us food, we can see it. If He keeps us healthy, we can see it. If He gives us clothing, we can see it. The favors of the hereafter, we cannot see them. Not at the moment. Yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has tried to explain them to us. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the ahadith which try to explain to us, the ahadith say that there is a palace, one brick gold, one brick silver. In the ahadith it says that you will gain fruits like this. In the Quran it says that in Jannah there will be rivers of honey, there will be rivers of milk. There will be trees. The hadith says that there is a tree that is so large that a person can travel under it for 100 years. So all of these explanations, you know, when these explanations are mentioned, what comes in our head? That, oh, the palace must be like this. When a person goes to the hereafter and goes to Jannah, then what will actually be there will be way beyond his expectations, what he thought. So he thought it was going to be like this, and he thought that would be amazing. But when he gets there, it will be more than 10 times better than that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just tries to explain to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that in the world you are thanking me because I have given you so much. Just wait until the hereafter when I give you what I am going to give you in the hereafter. Then you will thank me even more. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Only for him is praise in the hereafter. And the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this sentence is that He's already told us that all praise is for Allah. So in this world, all praise is for Allah. But in this world, we do praise other people. Even though it is actually praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do praise other people. We do praise other things as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in the hereafter, no one will praise anyone else or anything else. Everyone will only praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember one thing. In the world, sometimes a person doesn't manage to understand the reality. Let me give you a very simple example. Wealth, money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who is wealthy and who isn't wealthy. That is why someone who has done a degree, who has a PhD, he tries a business idea, it fails. And someone who hasn't even been to primary school tries a business idea and he becomes a millionaire. So many examples like that. That you have two people who seems like they're both skilled the same level. But one person is successful in life and the other person stays unemployed. He gets fired from every job. He can't find a job. So wealth is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just giving an example. But so this is a reality. It's a truth. But sometimes a person makes a mistake and he ends up thinking, no. Whether I become rich or not depends on me getting a decent job. That depends on me getting skilled, getting a degree, or having an education, or having training. So this is not the reality. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes wealthy, He makes wealthy. Same with health. Person in this world, he can end up thinking that what makes a person healthy is he eats healthy food, he has a balanced diet, he does exercise regularly, he stays away from eating items that are harmful, junk food, fizzy drink, and he has fruits and vegetables. So I'm not telling you have junk food and don't have fruits and vegetables. But whilst doing all this, a person should, in his head, he should think, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes me healthy. And the proof of that is that there are people who do all of this, and they still become ill. But in the world, a person can make this mistake. In the hereafter, everything will become clear to a person, not Muslim and non-Muslim.
So that non-Muslim or that Muslim whose iman was weak, so he used to think, no. If I want wealth, I will have to get behind it, spend all my time in it, whatever the case of deen is. Even that person, the hereafter, he will realize, no, wealth is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the day of judgment, it is the day, يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. It is the day when all secrets will be open. Nothing will remain a secret anymore. Everything that is true, a person will understand it. Every person will understand it. So when that is the case, that in the hereafter, every person will understand that the only person who is worthy of praising is Allah Ta'ala. So everyone will praise Allah Ta'ala. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise and all knowledgeable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all praises for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all praise. Why? Because He is the owner of the heaven and the creator of the heavens and the earth. What about the proof that He is the owner and the creator of the heavens and the earth? How do we know that He is the owner of the and the creator of the heavens and the earth? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the proof is very simple. Look everyone, you will find that there is so much wisdom in everything. There is so much wisdom in everything. Water comes down from the sky. The water is the same, whether it is in England or whether it is in Africa, or whether it is in New Zealand. It's the same ingredient. If you get, yes, it might taste, depending on the rocks it goes, it might taste slightly different. In London it will taste a bit more acidic. But though it is the same thing. But look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that because of that water, the plant that grows in England and the Africa, New Zealand is not the same. Each plant will be different according to the place it is in. So normally, if you have one ingredient, it doesn't make 50 different things. But you have one ingredient, water. And it makes hundreds of different plants. This is the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. And every plant is perfectly suited to the place it is in. The same goes for animals. These are just examples of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you look around, everywhere you'll see wisdom. You'll see nothing but that everything is planned. So everything is planned, so that means it can't just be going on by itself. No. There is someone controlling it and someone who owns it and someone who is the creator of it, who has a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ. So now here ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing exactly that. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is given us some examples, you can say, of how knowledgeable and how wise he is. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows that which enters the earth, that which goes into the earth. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا, and that which comes out of it. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and he knows that whatever comes down from the sky. And he knows whatever climbs up towards into the sky. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whatever enters the earth. So, what enters the earth? Water. Anything else that is placed inside the earth? Someone puts, so in the past people used to bury precious items in the earth. Seeds are placed into the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that enters the earth. That means that every single drop that enters the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of it. So if outside there is a drop that has dropped here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly where it has dropped, where it is going to end up, which plant it is going to be given to, and which plant is going to grow as a result. Now he knows, similarly he knows everything going on inside as well. What has entered the earth, where seeds have been put in. The seed has been eaten inside by an animal, he knows that. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows whatever enters the earth. And he knows whatever comes out of it. He has full knowledge. When a plant comes out of it, he has full knowledge of that. He has full knowledge and full wisdom about it. He gives the plant the ability to come out as well. So he is the owner of everything. So he is powerful and he has knowledge. And remember, for us to obey someone, that person should have two qualities. He should have power, control, and he should have knowledge. Let me give you a very simple example. Your teacher in school, or your teacher in madrasa, when will the student stay away from doing something wrong? Two things. One, he knows the teacher can punish me. If he knows that this teacher, he can't punish me. If I do anything wrong, he's either too soft, or he just doesn't have the ability to punish me for whatever reason, then he will not bother obeying the teacher. And secondly, he knows the teacher will find out what I am doing. The teacher might be the most strictest teacher, might give the harshest punishment, but the student finds a corner, a corridor where he knows the teacher will not find out what I am doing, then he will do whatever he wants to do. But when he knows that the teacher knows what I am doing and he is very strong and powerful and he has the ability to punish me, then the person will stay away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the same thing. He has already told us that he is the owner and creator of everything. So he is strong, he is powerful. If we do something wrong, he does have the ability to punish us. And now he is telling us that look at his knowledge, that he knows about every drop that is going into every plant that is coming out. So he definitely knows about every action of ours, wherever it may be. So that means he has the ability to punish us for any action. So before doing any action, we should understand that that person who is most powerful and who knows about my action is watching me. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He knows that which comes down from the sky. What comes down from the sky? The verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruling, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sustenance of a person. Angels come down. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And he knows what goes up. What goes up? The angels go up with the record of a person's deeds. So already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is telling us that I know all your deeds. Because I know every single ruling of the deen which I've sent. I know the angels which I send now. Really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need angels to tell him what we are doing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the point across to us, to make it even more clearer to us, he sends down angels. And every person has two angels with him that are recording what he is doing. And those two angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the power to exactly know what we are doing. So much that basically, it is not incorrect to say that the two angels, the angel that is in charge of recording good deeds and bad deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even given them the power to read our mind and heart. Why? Because sometimes a person does good deeds with his mind and heart. In his heart he is thinking, he is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah, you know, grant me this. Dua is a good deed. If the angel in charge of writing good deeds didn't know what is in your mind and heart, how do you write that good deed down? That means he must know. A person in his heart and mind, he is doing an evil deed, he is making a plan. Tomorrow, when I meet this person, then I am going to swear at him. Or tomorrow, I am going to carry out a robbery. This is a sin. If the angel in charge of writing bad deeds couldn't read your heart and mind, how do you write that bad deed down? That means that those two angels can read our heart and mind. And the angels, they have shifts. Basically morning to evening. So morning two angels come down. One for writing bad deeds, one for writing good deeds. The next evening they go up. So when they go up, they take a copy of your good deeds for that day as well. And that the same when they go up, then two more come down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he knows the angels that come down and the angels that go up with the record of good deeds. So he has full knowledge of our actions. And he has already told us that he has the full ability to punish us for them. So the next question. I do a bad deed. Today I swear at someone. Today I oppress someone. Today I hit someone. Today I disobey Allah. Today I misuse my gaze. Today I take some money that is impermissible for me. So why don't I get punished then? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَهُوَ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He doesn't punish you straight away. Not because He doesn't know or because He doesn't have the strength to punish you. He doesn't punish you and I straight away because He is most merciful. Most merciful, meaning He gives us a chance to repent. He thinks that maybe this person, give him a few days, give him a few weeks. Sometimes give him until his life finishes. So that, you know, he might, sooner or later he might think that, no, what I am doing wrong, it is a mistake. I'm missing my salah. I'm not fulfilling people's rights. It is a mistake. I should ask for repentance. I should stop what I am doing. So he is merciful. He is merciful, so he gives us a chance. And he is ghafoor, he is forgiving. He is merciful and he is ever ready to forgive. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no such thing as, now you cannot be forgiven. With people there is such a case. Let me give an example. There are two friends. And one friend, he gets a bit angry and he swears at the other friend. The next day he comes and he says, you know what, I was a bit overwhelmed, a bit angry. I made a mistake. Friend number two says, fine, it's okay. Week later, happens again. He gets angry and he swears at him again. Comes the next day and says, the friend, he will say, okay, then it happened last time as well. Happens 4 or 5 times max. After that, the friend won't be ready to forgive. So you just say this every time. In the world, with people, this is always the case. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is never the case. A person can make a mistake 100 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive him every time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, because I am always ready to forgive, so I never punish anyone straight away, even though I can. Usually I delay the punishment until the hereafter. That at least let me give him till the end of his life. That doesn't mean, if we make a mistake and we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should think, oh, I can repent later. I can ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness later. I can change my ways later. Because saying later is fine. But we don't know when our life is going to end. So I am saying, oh, today I am doing something wrong. So I think I will change my ways later. I will repent later. Right now I am young. I will repent when I am 40, 50. Oh, later. But we don't know, our life may not live till that long. So that does not mean that we should have this attitude. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am so merciful. Why are people not being punished straight away? Because I am giving them a chance. I am ghafoor, I am ever ready to forgive. So, in these two short verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has first told us that we should need to obey Him. Because He is absolutely perfect, every good quality He has. And He has every single favor He has done for us. So, such a being, if we're not going to obey Him, who are we going to obey? And secondly, He has the ability to punish us. He is powerful and He knows exactly what we are doing. But with that, He is merciful, so He gives us a chance. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to carry on understanding the Quran. This is the final thing we'll mention. The Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down not just to recite it. Allah subhanahu, every single word, every single verse is a message from Allah ta'ala. So, if someone important sends you a letter, tomorrow you get a letter from the Prime Minister, then every person will think, when can I wait to open it? He won't be able to wait to open it. And if an important letter comes which is in another language, then he won't think, it's another language, leave it. No, he will find someone who can translate it for you. He will find some way to translate it for you. He will go to someone else who understands this language and say, can you explain this to me? So similarly, the Quran, every verse of the Quran is a message from Allah Ta'ala. And as well as reciting it regularly, we need to understand the message. So one option is that we We learn Arabic, we understand all the different, it is not just Arabic, I'm not going into detail, but we understand everything that we need to do so that we can open the Quran and understand it ourselves. This is one option. But if a person cannot do this, then at the very least he should go to people who understand the Quran. Now, alhamdulillah, this is not just in our masjid. In so many masajid, courses take place, lessons take place, so that a person can understand the message of Allah Ta'ala. So we also need to regularly keep on understanding the message of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran, to recite the Quran, and to practice upon the Quran. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah fa kamil.
No. I did about 5 minutes. I'm okay.